I'm going to read today from Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 17. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." We started off looking at these verses a few weeks ago. And as I mentioned at that time, these words of Jesus permeate through everything he is about to say and teach. And I would suggest these must have been some of the most discouraging words that people ever heard Jesus speak. Ever since God had given the law to Moses on Mount Sinai, which we know as the Ten Commandments, you could stamp one word across the history of Israel. And that word is failure. The historical books of the Old Testament record the details of that failure. The poetic books of the Old Testament, they weep and mourn about that failure. And the prophetic books of the Old Testament, they preach about that failure. And with this history of failure, Jesus comes on the scene preaching the gospel. The word gospel means good news. People listening to Jesus on the hillside might have thought, what is the good news going to be? Some might have thought, the good news might be, God is going to give us a new and easier set of laws. For up to now, God has come across as being, well, very hard to please. Maybe some thought that the good news was that Jesus was going to that he was going to preach was that instead of 10 commandments, that God had reworked things and now there were only 5. Or maybe there would be a softening of some of the elements. And I suggest this because in verse 17, Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Jesus is saying, don't get the wrong idea. I have not come from heaven with an apology for the law that you have not been able to keep. There is no new updated version of the law which was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. I have not come to abolish the law or modify the law or reduce the law and the prophets. I have come, Jesus said, to fulfill them. Jesus came to fulfill the law. And today we're going to look at the purpose of the law. Why did God give the law to Moses in the first place? Why did God give Moses a list of requirements that were so high and so demanding and so, humanly speaking, unreasonable that nobody has ever been able to keep them? That really doesn't sound too fair, does it? If I was to meet you today for the very first time, and I knew absolutely nothing about you, I would be quite prepared to say to you and look you directly in the eyes and say, you have broken the law of God. You are a sinner. And you probably wouldn't get too hot under the collar by that. You might even agree if you're familiar with God's law. If you reacted at all, you might very well look at me in the eye and say, and you have too, buddy. Because you know and I know that no person anywhere at any time has ever been able to keep the law of God. That is, with the exception of Jesus Christ. Everyone has broken the law of God. And this raises a very important question for us. Why then did God give us a law that nobody has been able to keep? Was it because he was having a bad day when Moses went up on Mount Sinai and God was so disgusted with the children of Israel that he just let them have it? What was the criteria that determined what the law should be? And to understand the criteria, we need to look at two verses of Scripture in the New Testament that describe what sin involves. The first comes to us in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. But before I read this verse, let me remind you of something that, well, I have said numerous times before, and I hope you don't get sick of me saying it and hearing it. The word sin, in its original English usage, literally means to miss the mark. The word sin came from an archery term. If you took an arrow and you fired it at a target and you missed the target, it was called sin. If you missed the target by a centimeter, it was sin. If you missed it by a meter, it was sin. If you missed it by a kilometer, it was sin. If you turned around and shot the arrow in the opposite direction, it was called sin. Why? Because sin is not the measure of how bad you are. Sin is the measurement of how good you are not. Let me try to illustrate that for us in another way. You know, living on an island as we do here on Vancouver Island, we know firsthand about ferry schedules. You know, if you miss the ferry by a minute, you missed it. If you missed it by 10 minutes, well, you missed it. If you arrived up to the ferry terminal an hour late, you missed the boat. We all missed the same boat. You know, you don't congratulate yourself when you missed the ferry by a minute and say, wow, wasn't that fantastic? I only missed it by a minute today. You probably are more frustrated than ever to be so close and yet have missed it. And there is a sense in which God is not particularly concerned with how bad people are by how much you've missed the mark. For God is concerned with how good people are not. Everyone missed the mark. Whether we missed it by a centimeter or a meter or by a minute or an hour is really irrelevant. We've all missed the mark. Now, you'll not know what sin is until you know what the mark is that you have missed. And this is where 1 John 3:4 says, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. John is saying every time somebody sins, no matter what the nature of that sin is, they have broken the law of God. The law represents the target that we miss, is what John is saying. But this does not answer the question, why is the law what it is? Why didn't God make it a little easier to encourage us some? Well, let me now read the second verse, which will help us to understand why the law is what it is. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, Paul writes, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, says Paul, every time somebody sins, what they do, no matter what the nature of the sin is, they fall short of the glory of God. That is the target. So when you take these two verses together, John says to come short of the law is to break the law. Sin is lawlessness. And Paul says to sin is to come short of the glory of God. Looking at these two verses together, John says the law is the target that we miss, and Paul says the glory of God is the target we miss, which tells us that the law of God and the glory of God are equal to the same thing. So to answer the question, why is the law of God what it is, we have to ask another question. What is the glory of God? The word glory, depending on its context in Scripture, is essentially the character of God. Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words says, the glory of God is the character of God. what he essentially is and does. It's his moral character. This is the kind of thing that John had in mind when he wrote in his gospel in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 14. And it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So when John says, "We have seen his glory," what exactly did John see? Does he mean they saw a bright light shining around Jesus? No. John is saying, we saw in Jesus the moral character of God. We saw the glory of God that we have fallen short of. You know, if you were a small child when Jesus was born and you got to play with him in Nazareth, and you knew him as a young boy, and you played with him, in the way Jesus acted, in the way he reacted, in the way he treated his friends, the way he talked to his parents, we saw what God was like. When Jesus worked in Joseph's carpenter shop, and the way he went about doing his work and the business, the way he paid his bills and the way he charged for the work that he did, you saw what God was like. When Jesus began his public ministry, and Jesus would talk to a woman that everyone else would be embarrassed to be seen around, we saw what God was like. You know, when Jesus crossed the road and touched the lepers that nobody touched because they were unclean and had this contagious disease, we saw what God was like. When the disciples tried to chase the children away because, well, they were deemed a nuisance and they were just getting in the way, but Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." You know, they probably climbed all over him, and he loved them. And we saw what God was like. Because the glory of God is the moral character of God. And the glory of God is the expression of what God is like in his character. Now, if this was true of Jesus, and it was actually initially true of humans as well, because we were created in the image of God. So when God created Adam and Eve in his image and placed them in the Garden of Eden, if we would have been there and we had seen them, we would have seen what God is like. Adam and Eve would have been kind because God is kind. They would have been loving because God is loving. They would have been patient because God is patient. To be made in the image of means when you look at the image, you'll see what the real thing is like. Now, having been created in God's moral image, something went terribly wrong. We sinned. We came short of the glory of God. We no longer show in our lives what God is like. So if the law of God is equal to the glory of God, the reason why God gave the law was to reveal what he was like, so that we might understand what we are supposed to be like, having been created in his image. So when God said in the law, "You shall not steal," it wasn't because stealing isn't nice, though of course it isn't nice, but that's not the reason you're not to steal. The reason is much more profound than that. The reason why God said, "You shall not steal," is because God is not a thief, and humans were made to be and created to be in the image of God. So we are not to steal. When God said, "You shall not bear false witness," it is because God never tells lies. And human beings were created to be in his image. So don't tell a lie. When God said, "You shall not commit adultery," it is because God is totally faithful and human beings were created to be in his image. So don't ever commit adultery. When God said, "You shall not covet," it is because God is not greedy and human beings were made to be in his image. So don't covet. The whole law was given to reveal what God is like, because we were created to express what God is like. But we sinned and now have fallen short of the glory of God. And now we are all messed up and broken. The law was given to show us what God is like. When it says, children, honor your parents, it is because within the Trinity, the Son says, I always do those things that please the Father. And you were created to be in the image of God. So children, honor your parents. The law is not just an arbitrary set of rules given to straighten out the mess we are in. The law is far more profound than that. The law is the revelation of the character of God. It reveals to us what God is like, and in so doing, it reveals to us what we are supposed to be like, having been created in the image of God. So the purpose of the law is to reveal the character of God. And it's important that we understand this before we move on to the rest of Jesus' sermon. Now, we're going to be stopping here right now as our time is gone. But you need to take some time to think on this and ponder on it and consider it. And next week, we'll pick up with the same topic again, and we'll look at the effects of the law as to what does it actually do for us. We will look at Jesus' comment that he came to fulfill the law. What did Jesus mean by that? But first, you have to understand the purpose of the law, which is to reveal the character of God to us. So we will know what the target is that we have all fallen short of hitting. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing to us your character in the law and helping us to see how we have missed the target, the mark, the bullseye of what we were created to be. May we understand our poverty of spirit and mourn that poverty and seek your forgiveness and healing through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.